Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dajan. I'm author of the book Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And with me today, I'm excited to speak to Scepterhead. How you doing, man?
You know what? I'm doing all right. I got some issues going on up and down, just like life is always life always seems to be. But other than that, I'm staying alive.
Okay. Anything you can tell us about? Frustrating things going on?
No details.
It's probably better than
only vague statements.
Okay, vague statements.
That's the true way to express yourself as an artist. You just kind of put it out there and be like, well, you know, this, that, and the other, and then you get
that. Yeah. That's funny. All right, so we're going to talk about the economy today, that's right?
Yeah. Nah.
Okay, economy, and so you are happy about Mitt Romney's running mate, correct?
I prefer not to vote. Just because
okay.
It's going to piss off at least half the people I know.
Yeah.
As far as politics go, I try not to get involved. I don't believe. I don't believe in either side.
Yeah.
I don't trust my government. I'd like to. I just don't. I'm sorry. And that's about it. That's about all I'm going to say about politics.
Yeah, it's a scary thing because most of my, you know, the social networking platform is always amazing in how folks put their opinions out there, and having most of my friends in the art world, it gets pretty heated. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. I'm just playing with you. But let's start at the beginning. You're probably getting worried. You're like, really? Are we going to go down this road?
Nah, I can do it. I'll drive.
You can do it.
I'll spit out. Keep up.
So tell me about the name, how it originated, where that came from.
Yeah, the name Scepterhead is kind of like the phonetic spelling of the word scepter and the word head, obviously. I mean, well, maybe not obviously, but that's how I created it. Broad definition of a scepter is an ornamental context of power. The way that I create art and the way that I see art is kind of the same thing. It's all just an ornamental context of power. So I'm kind of lopping those two together as being synonymous with each other.
Well, that's interesting. I'm glad you said that because as I was thinking about your work this morning, I was thinking, I mean, it's like a combination between op art and Shark Week. I mean, it's this ferocious that you have, but it's a very decorative aspect to it as well.
Yeah, there's a huge, huge lifelong interest in optical art. I personally, I guess I've been obsessed with it pretty much for the past, I don't know, 10 years. I've actually studied it quite extensively. I have stacks and stacks and stacks of books. I've experimented with it for a very long time. I haven't quite perfected it on my own as far as freehand goes. You throw me in Photoshop, and I can pretty much slam it down to the point.
Yeah. So who
meaning
do you like?
I can create my own optical art. You know.
Sure. Sure. So who do you admire in the op art world then?
Oh, I don't pay attention to anyone in the art world. I used to, I don't mean to sound like a total arrogant asshole, but like quite honestly, I don't really like to drop names. I try to keep I peek every once in a while onto certain art blogs. As far as black and white art goes, I would say the master is my giant. For me personally, extremely like I would say. 100% influenced by his work, especially in the past year since I've completely abandoned using the whole Adobe extended family and just picked up my Sharpie and gone back to where I started. As far as like, yeah, I mean, I don't really like to drop names and I don't really try to pay too much attention to too many other artists. I think that it's good to take notice every once in a while, but I'm pretty fucking self-obsessed, I would like to say. And I keep myself in a little bubble, and I try not to influence myself too much with outside stimuli because what I've found is the more that I do that, the more dangerous it becomes for me to completely copy their style without even being aware of it.
Sure. I think that's always something. This is borrowing and stealing aspect.
Yeah, I mean, any artist who says they don't do that is lying. They're lying.
Yeah. Well, and when I think of, like, op art, though, I think of Bridget Riley, Victor Vassarelli, those guys from the – guys and girls from the 1960s, 1970s. That was a sort of a flash-in-the-pan art movement right after pop art. It's very much tied to psychedelic music and things of that sort. I mean, do you see yourself connected to, you know, folks like that from decades ago?
I think there's definitely some sort of small connection there. I think more of what I'm trying to do with my art is just grab people's attention and try to express this vibe, this, like, good, bad, electric vibe that's constantly shooting out of my head into the city. You know, I'm always looking at, like, I'm always driving through traffic and seeing, like, these heat waves come off the tops of cars. I'm always looking at buildings downtown and seeing, like, the windows shiver and shake from the heat waves. And I'm always being bombarded by noises coming in and out of cars and people's stereos and fucking iPods and just TVs and just there's constant bombardment of waves, whether it's natural or man-made. And I'm trying to harness all of these things and scoop them up and throw them in my art every once in a while if I can.
Yeah, so then the city's obviously very important to you, though. Those are things that very much you find a confluence of them as you get around lots of building, lots of people, and you got lots of that sort of energy that you're noticing. So L.A. might be important to you.
It's amazing. I've never really I've been in L.A. for about 10 years now, and it's amazing to me that I can live in a city of so many people and everyone's going through the same thing, and yet I don't really pay attention to anyone. But every once in a while, I look out and be like, holy shit, there's like 20 people next to me, and they've all got, you know, their own cross to bear, and they've all got issues.
You know,
maybe I can come up with a certain image that two of them can relate to. You know, maybe two of those people can see that and go, wow, I get that. You know, I feel a little less alone, and, like, if they feel a little less alone, then it'll help me feel a little less alone in the world, you know?
So why, I mean, obviously I get the idea of where your influences are coming from and the ideas that you're working with, but why take to street art then? Why not just regular canvas work, or what's the importance of having it outside?
The importance of having it outside is basically, it comes down to being authorized versus unauthorized.
Yeah.
When I see something that I know is not supposed to be there, I get probably a million times more excited than I would if I see something that I would expect to be there. You know, and the connection the response that I've received from people who I would never talk to in a million years, just not because, like, I wouldn't talk to, not because it's a personal thing, but because I would have no other reason for them to contact me. I've received numerous emails just in the past month, everywhere from people saying, you know, I saw your mural, I was going through a complete breakdown in my life, for some reason your mural got me through this. Or I've had people say, you know, I've never really cared about art, I see your work on the street and it's gotten me into art. And, you know, those two things on the spectrum comparatively are huge connections to people, complete strangers, you know, and that's what street art is to me, is a connection. It's not a very strong, lasting connection, because street art is extremely ephemeral. Some things last no longer than 3 hours, you know, depending on when and where you put them up. And you're basically throwing away your work when you put it on the street. But there's also something very cleansing about creating such large amounts of work and letting them go all at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I think a lot of students wrestle with when they create, you know, they go through their first creations and they're so precious. And then a while they go. And it's
that was the way it was for me.
I get it.
I'd started doing street art, and, you know, I would do a couple of posters here and there, and I'd be like, a parent driving by, checking on him, being like, oh, why did, you know, are they still there? What happened to him? And, oh, did someone go over? and then after a while, I started realizing how ridiculous that was. And I don't really remember anything that I do now. I just go and do it, you know? And it's completely addictive, at least for me. There's always been an addictive aspect to finding a blank wall and completely changing the context of it, you know? Whether people see it or not, you know, there's a lot of byproducts to street art that people like to talk down on anyone, basically anyone who started after Exit Through the Gift Shop. Well, you know what? I never saw Exit Through the Gift Shop, so basically those people can suck it. I think it's unfortunate that, and you know, when I did see the movie, I didn't really make the connection as to like, this is a great movement. You know, I didn't really care about the movie at all, to be quite honest. But you know, it's like, it's unfortunate that no matter how hard you try to go out and have fun and do your thing, people are always going to look down upon you because they think that your motives are guided by money or fame or some other kind of BS, which is not why anyone starts to do art. No one starts as an artist like that. I don't care who you are. No one does it. You know, there's nothing wrong with making a living, but, you know, the people that, like me, we're faced with having to constantly prove ourselves to a bunch of people that are either, one, jealous or just talking shit, you know? So it's very, hobby, just put it that way. If you stop and pay attention. Yeah.
Well, that's a huge point because longevity was brought up time and time again as I've talked to folks in the street art world. And it's as though there's a certain thing you can't do anything about. Hey, I've only been doing this 3-4 years compared to someone who's 15. And there's folks, even folks that, you know, they run PR companies, let's say, for street artists or for shows or whatever. And they're respected, not because they're really good at it, but because they've been around a long time. And so it's an interesting credibility aspect that it's just part of the context that I think is pretty fascinating. But to get back to, I would love for you to describe to me the process of when you find a wall and how you decide to go about doing something on a particular context like that. I mean, could you take us through something recently that you've done? Some of the decisions you make.
When I first started hitting the streets, theoretically, I've actually never hit the streets. I don't want to get that on tape. But what I used to do is I would try to find an environment, like say a previous piece of art put up. I'll use an example as Joe Ledbetter Elephant. This is probably my most intricate piece that I ever did as far as like specifics. So I'd take the environment of this 8-foot elephant, you know, with a monkey riding on its head. And I created a pair of soldiers with a camera and a microphone. This elephant was all alone on the wall, and it basically looked like he was, you know, getting ready to say something. So I set it up so it looked like a news interview. Mm-hmm. And on the soldiers, I had it say something to effect of like anti-ivory or something like that. It was my first attempt at trying to kind of do a call and react, I guess you could say, visually. You know, there's been other spots where I have looked around in the area and I have gone through my file of things I've created and I've tried to come up with a theme that's similar to something that makes sense in the area. You know, like a muffler shop or a library or something.
Right.
But I learned very quickly that I don't have time, nor do I care to do such a thing anymore, unless it's a mural. If I'm doing a mural, then I will spend the time to actually look at the area and do some research and come up with something that is more specific. Now it's just straight bombing. I mean, it's just as many posters as I can, as many spots as I can, as fast as I can. And there's really no... there's no consideration for spots. There's no consideration for, you know, the environment. It's just really about trying to get up and not get caught. You know, there's a lot of, people always say, it's very funny, people always say there's a lot of spots out there, you know, there's a whole city. Well, you know, there is a whole city. But there's only certain friendly spots in the city. You know, you could go smash your grandma's bathroom wall all you want.
Yeah.
But if she's going to buff it, she's going to buff it. You know, it doesn't matter. There are spots in the city. You know, she used to ride, and I know it goes in waves. I haven't been around too long, but I know it goes in waves. And not only the city cleanup, but also the artists go in waves as well. So it's interesting. Certain spots, they just don't last.
Yeah.
And it always changes.
So, yeah,
you got to keep moving. So I think that's what made me want to spend less time on the spots that I found. And also, that's just the way I work. You know, when I create stuff, I'll slam down Sharpie drawings in like hour after hour, you know, just bam, 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 bam. And if you look at a lot of my work, a lot of it looks very raw and unfinished, but that's just my style. That's how I do it. I'm very fast. You know, I'm working on a show right now for November, and I've already got the whole thing done except for like maybe two pieces in it. I still got, you know, 3 months left.
Mm-hmm.
Where I nailed out the show in like 2 months, you know, I did like 30 pieces, and I'm just like, okay, now what? So I'm very scattered. I've worked very fast, and that's why I don't pay much attention to the walls anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you want it to be up there, like you said, the longer the better. It has a more lasting impact.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain spots where you know your stuff's going to at least last for a week, you know. And it's not, like I said before, it's not really, ideally, yeah, if the shit would ride forever. But you got to keep in mind, it's just a poster, you know. It's just, and it's water-based glue. So sun's going to hit it. It's going to bake it. And it's good. And then, you know, that's kind of fun to put stuff out for just a short time. You know, if you're lucky enough, if something's going to make your day, which I've heard thousands of times where people are like, oh, I was driving down, I saw this one piece of yours, and it made my day. I'm like, oh, that piece, the one that I just saw buffed? They're like, yeah, I saw it yesterday. It's like, that little short window was like, that was special to someone, you know? And that's awesome to make someone that happy.
So when you go out, are you alone, or do you go with a group of folks?
You know, I had a partner for a long time that I started with. I think everyone does. A lot of times you can tell when people go out with who they're going out with, because you'll see new stuff from both people on certain corners. I did have one person I was going out with. I'm very selective. I don't like to go out with someone just because they ask me, you know.
Right.
It's because it's not a field trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm out there risking whatever it is that is going to happen to me once, you know, I get in trouble for it. And it's like, I don't want, number one, to be with someone that I don't know if I like or not. You know, number two, be with someone who's going to do something stupid. Or number three, be with someone that I can't trust, you know, that I don't know. And so it's like, you know, there's been a couple people that I've gone out with, a couple veterans here and there. I get hit up all the time. People are like, hey, let's go smash. I was like, it's nothing personal, but it's like, I don't know you, you know? And I mean, I'm guilty of the same thing. When I first started, I hit up all my idols. I was like, hey, let's go, you know, do this. And they wouldn't respond to me. I like, got all hurt. But now I know. Now I realize.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not like, all right, everyone get on the bus or everyone get on the shuttle. We're going to go do some street art. Yay! You know, it's not a field trip, dude. It is not a field trip.
So what does that consist of, though? I mean, are you driving around and you're parking? Because obviously you have some material. You got a bucket. You've got a brush.
When I first started, I had a small personal helicopter that would fly me around the city. I ran out of gas really quick. It was very expensive to uphold. As far as, like, scaling buildings and stuff, you know, drop down with the ropes. But I've kind of toned it down a bit. In the past couple of years, a little bit more humble. I've moved to a car, and you know, I would love. That's my word of the day. In case anyone's wondering, I've used it probably what 9 times. Ideally, I would like to have a pickup truck or something. You know, something a little bit more practical. I have spilled 5 gallons of glue in my back seat.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. Sometimes you just drive around and you forget. And it's very interesting. There's really only so much you can do in a night.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried to, I've done everything. I've hit four or five different cities in one night. I've focused on one city and just, you know, I've done every kind of possibility combination there is, and it's just like, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of money, and it takes a lot of heart.
Yeah.
To go out there and do it over and over and over, and it all depends on your motives. You know, it comes down to your motives as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, I think that's why longevity is such a key aspect in it, because it is draining. There's a physical draining part, it's draining financially. Also, the risk of it as you get older. That's why it's so impressive to see folks like Robbie Canal or folks who've been doing it a long time.
Well, you know, I will give Robbie Canal props. People do have teams. They have teams of people mm-hmm. sometimes to help put up their work. I don't know if there's anything wrong with that yet. I've never been offered. I've had people put up my stuff before, but I don't really feel comfortable with it because I'm kind of a control freak.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like just getting back to like the methods, I guess you'd say. I have a level 2 business account at Staples, which means I've mm-hmm. spent thousands of dollars printing out shit. I've spent a grip of money that has literally gone nowhere. But I'll tell you something that's very interesting. There's nothing quite like seeing an 8.5 by 11 sketch get blown up to 8 by 14 feet. There's nothing like it. That feeling has never gotten old for me. Finding a spot, you know, I would go smashing with Destroy, and we would hit spots and put up friggin', you know, 15 panels, 3 by 7 feet, you know, just basically do a billboard, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like that, like taking a huge wall and just completely transforming it, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure it's very empowering as you go through it to see something you created so large. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
I can see the addictive aspect of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, you know, now that you've been, I mean, L.A. obviously is your primary location and home. I mean, what's your sort of understanding of the L.A. art scene or the L.A. street art scene? Because it's probably taken off more than it ever has before. Obviously, there's been people here working for a long time, but it has. I mean, there's books coming out, there's blogs, there's so much attention on it. It's been on the news. I mean, how do you make sense of it all?
I guess I would say, you know, it's gonna come and go. You know, I think last summer was a true pinnacle of the extent of how crazy it can get.
Yeah.
I don't know why
last summer though. What was
I
it
have
about
no
that?
Idea. I have no. I think it was maybe this. Oh no, I do know. I know.
Okay.
It was the summer in the streets.
Okay.
The museum show.
The museum show.
Yeah, summer in the streets. See, I don't pay attention to anything. You know, the street poster guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what it was. And it's very funny, like, I'm on the streets pretty much almost every day, whether it's putting up stuff or just driving around, and there's really nothing left out there. There's a couple people that I know that are still trying to get up. I don't know if it's because they can't last or they've just given up. I've seen probably, you know, anywhere since last summer, 15 to 20 artists that I used to know of that have stopped hitting the streets. I know there's definitely a lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at a lot of the old school cats that were hitting the streets before I started, and they stopped hitting the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to say that I will never stop hitting the streets. I know that someday it's just not going to be feasible, you know. I don't know when that is. I hope it's never. But I don't really understand I guess I do understand. I guess a lot of people thought it was fun. And street art, you know, will always have that. It'll always have the appeal. It'll always have the weekend warriors. It'll always have the people cruising in and throwing down a couple posters on Melrose, getting on the blog and being like, yeah, you know, it's like, It's not that hard to do. You know, I can show you a couple walls that if you hit them, you're guaranteed to be on the blog in 24 hours. if that's what you're down for, I mean, that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a very accessible medium. You know, anyone can do it. That's either the best thing about it or the worst. You know, because if you're out there like, which is funny, you're trying to like maintain your totally illegal spots. You know, it's like you're not even supposed to be, you know, up in that spot, and then you're competing with other people who think that they're supposed to be up in that spot, and it gets very funny. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is very funny, and there's all sorts of wonderful things that fly in the face of each other that just don't make sense
whatsoever. Nonstop, dude. That street art drama, that's your next book right there.
Yeah, it is. That's been, I think, to me, part of the most unfortunate part of all of it is.
It's very sad because a lot of egos get in the way, and I think basically we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. It would be more awesome if we could work together, but that's just not. If your ego is big enough to where you're out there hitting the streets, then it's probably. I mean, I know a lot of people in street art, and 99.5% of them are great people. You know, they're awesome. There's always going to be that 0.5% that are just, they just don't get along with people, you know, and they're out of their mind, and they're total douchebags, and you're just like, all right, well, I guess if it wasn't street art, you'd be acting this way some other way. You know, it's just like, that's just the way it is. That's the way life is. Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's true. And for the most part, most of the folks that I've interacted with have been nothing but kind, and that's what I've really appreciated about doing this and doing interviews like this is there's a certain amount of honesty and rawness to a lot of the comments that I hear. And, you know, folks really just want to make some sort of difference, whatever that may be, legally or illegally. But it is, it's a pretty neat little subculture. So, I mean, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to talk today.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, is there if folks listening, if they want to learn more about your work or maybe get in contact with you, is there a way to do that or a way you can something?
You can go to my website, www.sepetterhead.com, scepterhead.com, or you can find me on Stupid Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Tumblr. I'm all over the place. Or
you're
you
all
just
over.
Google me. If you remember how to spell my name. It's a weird name.
You,
so I'll say it one more time.
Correct.
People.
Yeah.
S-E-P-T-E-R-H-E-D. Scepter
awesome.
Head.
Awesome. Scepter head. So spell it right.
I created business cards just for that reason. You know, people be like, oh, you want to, you know, I've got a job for you, da-da-da. Like, oh, yeah, write down my name. And just like the look people give me when I tell them my name, they're like, oh, I can't spell that. So I'm like, here's a card. Here it is. There's my name.
That's awesome. Hey, well, I appreciate it. It's always good to speak with you and see your work and look forward to touching base with you again sometime in the future. So thanks, Seth.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
No problem. So if you want to learn more about Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art, you can visit our Facebook page, which is what we have. It's pretty easy to get to. In the meantime, we'll see you here again next week for another interview. But until then, we'll let the music of Desire, Obtain, Cherish take us out. Thanks so much.